Hello, and welcome to the Snakes R Us TV podcast. This is episode number one, and I'm your host, Jason Clark.
Are you ready?
I thought it would be appropriate to take this first episode and maybe explain to you guys what exactly Southeastern Reptile Rescue is, how I started it, and what all do we do here? And in a little bit later, I want to explain this podcast and where we're going with this and what our future plans are with the upcoming episodes. But first things first, let's get back to exactly what Southeastern Reptile Rescue is. What is Snakes R Us TV? What do we do? Well, this all started many, many years ago. Well, not that many years ago. I'm not that old. But it started when I was 7 years old. At least that's when I caught my first snake. I loved snakes heading up to that point, but I didn't really know much about them. And honestly, I was kind of afraid of them a little bit just because I didn't know a lot about snakes, but I was just infatuated with them. I just had this draw to snakes and I liked them and didn't know why I liked them. And I wanted one so bad as a pet. And I'll never forget the first snake I ever caught. I was 7 years old. It was summertime, school was out. I'm in the backyard playing around, having a great time. And I lift up this piece of tin on the ground, and there it was, a snake. I had no clue what kind of snake this was. I just knew I had to have it. I grabbed the snake by the tail. I dropped him into a barrel. My dad gets home. I says, "Daddy, I caught a snake. What is it?" He looks and says, "Oh, it's a harmless garter snake. You better turn it loose before your mama sees it. You know, she's not a big fan of snakes." Now, I'm 7 years old, left in the backyard with this harmless snake. My dreams have just come true, okay? I'm not about to turn the snake loose. I pick it up to play with it, and of course, what do you think the snake does? It proceeds to bite me over and over again on both hands. And I'm getting about 9 bites on both hands, and I started screaming, running toward the house. I was so excited. My first snake and my first snake bite all on the same day, I had to tell somebody. I come screaming in the front door of the house. First person I see is my mama washing dishes. I run up behind her. I'm screaming. I'm still holding the snake. Both hands are bleeding. Mama, guess what? She was very excited, but not in a good way. I did get in trouble that day. But I learned that day that I really enjoyed catching snakes. I knew I wanted to catch more. And that's pretty much all I knew about snakes, okay? So what I did is when I went back to school, I went to the library, and I got every reptile book they had, and I read it from front to back. And when I finished reading it, I read it again and again. And I just learned as much about snakes and lizards and turtles and tortoises and alligators and other animals as I could. Several years went by. I grew up a lot, matured a lot. And one day, years later, I was sitting at home, bored, and the best idea I've ever had popped into my head, an idea on how I could catch more snakes. I had a plan, not a very good plan, but I picked up the phone and dialed 911. The operator said, 911, what's your emergency? I said, "Ma'am, I ain't got one. I'm just calling to introduce myself. My name is Jason. I'm an expert on snakes. Call me anytime, and I'll come catch your snakes for free." She said, "Sir, we hate snakes, but we're going to call you." I did not tell her at the time. I was only in seventh grade. I was barely a teenager. I didn't have a car or driver's license. I didn't even know what an expert was, okay? But they needed my services, and here I am in middle school, and now 911 has my number, and actually, this is before cell phones. I didn't have a cell phone to give them. We had a home phone, but I was able to give them I had a pager number we could give them, and they would call either my home phone, or they would page me on my pager, and we were getting snake calls. Now, they did not know I was in middle school, you know, not even old enough to drive yet. But they were like, "Hey, we don't want to deal with snakes. Call him." So they would call me. I'd have to ask my mom or dad to take me to the call. And I remember my dad pulling up on this one call, and we get out of the car, and The sheriff's department is there because some homeowners called 911 about a snake inside their house, and they're freaking out. And the two sheriff's deputies are there, and they're freaking out. And they walk over to our vehicle and begin talking to my dad. And my dad said, "No, I'm not here to get the snake. That's my boy. Go, he'll help you. You know, this little teenager over here." So they're like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." So I go in and I catch the snake, and it was just, I was on top of the world, you know. And so, yes, 911 was using me when I was, you know, a teenager. And that's kind of how I got started. And I never planned it to go any further than that. I was just happy getting to see snakes and people calling me about snakes and me getting to go find them and catch them and relocate them and turn them loose and help them. That's all I cared about. That was just heaven to me. So that, you know, went on and on and on. And as time passed, I was able eventually to talk my mom into letting me have a pet snake. And by talk her into it, I kind of had to fib a little bit. I said, "Listen, there's this guy. He's getting rid of these snakes, and I've got somebody he's selling these snakes, and somebody wants to buy them, but they can't get them yet. So we have to keep them just for like a week or so, and then they'll be gone after that." So she agreed to that. Of course, nobody was getting these snakes but me. So I just figured once I got them in the house and they were in their enclosure, like in my bedroom, and I'm caring for them, it'd be easier to keep them permanently than to say, "Hey, can I have a pet snake forever?" You know. So anyway, it worked out. I did get to keep those snakes. And those snakes were actually boa constrictors, common boas, red-tailed boa constrictors. I got to keep as my first pet snake that I really got to have in my bedroom there. And it was so cool. I loved those things so much. And as time went on, I got pet turtles. And I remember one Christmas, they bought me a green iguana for Christmas. And I had my two red-tailed boas. I also had other animals. I had chickens and ducks and cows and pigs and all this stuff. And I just loved all animals, not just snakes, but snakes, reptiles, that was my favorite, you know. And so things started to kind of progress. Because I had all these animals, I remember the newspaper doing a news story on me when I was in middle school about all the pets that I had. And that was just so cool, you know, because then all my classmates saw it and everybody knew that I had all these pets. They would talk to me about animals and ask questions, and it was so much fun for me. And I remember after that news story came out, there was a church that said, "Hey, we're having a fall festival, and we'd love for you to bring some of your animals and let the kids pet them and see your animals, and we'll pay you." I said, "What? You'll pay me? Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah, we'll pay you $25. I said, "$25? You got to be kidding me." I couldn't believe they were going to pay me that much money. So I went to this church, and I remember I had a green iguana. I had a pig that I had bottle raised from just like a week old. And I think I had one of my red-tailed boas, my boa constrictors. I don't remember what else I brought. And I was there for a couple hours letting kids pet these animals, and they paid me $25. And I was, "This is great. I can go buy some feed or food to feed my animals with this." You know, it was amazing that people would pay me to go do that. And so as time went on, I moved out of middle school and started going into junior high school. And I'll never forget, in my science class in junior high school, my science teacher approached me and said, "Hey, so I understand you've got a pet snake." I said, "Yeah, I've got a few pet snakes, actually." She said, "Well, listen, would you be okay bringing it to class tomorrow? Because we're talking about reptiles, and we'd love to have a snake to show your classmates." I said, "Yeah, I'd be happy to bring it to school, of course." You know, I was so excited. So the next day, I show up with my boa constrictor. I may have brought both of them, I don't know, at least one or two snakes with me. And I get into class, and she starts the class. She says, "Okay, hey, class, you know, Jason's here, and he's brought a snake. Jason, why don't you stand up in front of the class and tell us all about the snake?" And then I just felt sick to my stomach. I didn't know I was going to have to do this. I didn't know I was going to have to get in front of the class and talk to people as the whole class is looking at me talking to them. I'm like, this is a nightmare. I would not have done this if this is what I knew I was going to have to do. But now I'm in this position. I kind of have to do it. So I get up there, and I was so nervous, and I didn't even know what I was saying. And I'm just trying to answer their questions and tell them some information about it. And I hated it, you know, but I was like, at least I get to hold a snake during class. That was a good part. And when I was done, the teacher said, that was wonderful. That was so good. I have an idea. How about you skip all of your classes today? I'll give you a pass, and you can just stay in my science class all day. And as each class comes in, you do the same thing you just did with all the classes. Well, I had just spoken to my class, and I didn't die. I made it through it, okay? And I was like, well, maybe I could do it again. And the good part is I don't have to go to any of my classes. I get to stay in this class all day and just hold my snakes, you know, and talk to people about snakes. So I agreed to do it. And in one of the classes, the counselor came in, the counselor from the school came in with a video camera and videoed my talk, me talking about snakes. And then the next day, I was really surprised. He had edited the video, and they had these TVs in every classroom, and they put the video in and showed the video of me talking about snakes to the entire school. And now everybody knew me as the snake guy at school. Oh, yeah, Jason, the snake guy. And so that was cool, you know. And so I really enjoyed it at that point. Now, that video, I still have it somewhere. Nobody will ever see it. It was horrible looking back on it, you know. But that was my first time doing public speaking. And so later on, as time went on, I was still answering 911 calls. People were calling me with pet snakes and all this kind of stuff. And I ended up getting a job as a police officer. And after I graduated high school and went to a college, a school of ministry, actually, I went to, and I'm a police officer. And one of the worst parts about my job when I was a cop was once a month you had to sit in what they called the watch office. And they rotated the officers through there because nobody wanted that to be their job. So they kind of would make us rotate and do this job like once a month. And basically what it was, you're in this office for 8 hours a day, and people call on the phone, and they want to make a police report over the phone. So you have to take their information, type it all out, make a report, give them a case number. And that was not my thing, sitting in an office. I hated it, but I did it about once a month. And sometimes you're not getting any calls. It's just boring sitting there. And this is – I had a cell phone, but this is before smartphones. And the internet was out, but I barely knew how to work the internet at this point. And there was a big three-ring binder, like a big, huge, thick three-ring binder full of all these resources. So if somebody calls, says, hey, I need help with this, and it wasn't, you know, the police department's, you know, jurisdiction or job to go do this, we had this book that we could find resources to send these people to and say, here, call this organization or call this company or whatever, and they can help you. So being bored, I'm looking through this book. I'm just flipping through pages. Then I see there's some guy has just taken like a picture of himself and printed it on this piece of paper, and it just says Reptile Rescue. And it's got a and he's like a bald-headed guy with holding a ball python and says, if you have a pet snake, you don't want it, I'll take your pet snake. Basically, that's what it was. And I was like, well, you know, that's what I've been doing. I'm taking these pet snakes and finding them homes. And what is this guy doing with them? You know, well, who is this dude? You know, so I called the number just out of curiosity, and it was disconnected. I was like, oh, okay, so he's not even doing this anymore. So I ripped the page out because we don't need that page. And I rip it out. I said, I'm going to put my phone number in here because I'm actually doing it and people can call me. And so I'm like, okay, so I'm going to, you know, get on the computer. I said, I'll just type up something that says Reptile Rescue. I'll list my phone number on here. And here, let me give some more information. And I started thinking, okay, Reptile Rescue. Well, maybe I need to name it something. Maybe we should name it So it's not just so generic. Let's call it, okay, I live in Georgia, Georgia Reptile Rescue. And I printed it out and I stuck it in this little sleeve and put it in the book. And I looked at it and said, look at there. That's cool. Then I was like, you know what? What if this thing grows? What if somebody from Alabama calls? Or what if somebody from Florida needs me? Or Kentucky or North Carolina, South Carolina? Listen, okay, I take the paper out and I rename it, not Georgia Reptile Rescue. I rename it Southeastern Reptile Rescue for the whole Southeastern U.S. because, you know, we might have things beyond Georgia that need help. And I put it in the little book and I closed the book. And at that point, I was done with it. I was never going to go one step further than that. That was it. I got off work that day and I went home and went to work the next day and the next day, and you know, the weeks went by. But the one thing that I noticed was, as time was going by, one thing that was consistent was I was not able to get it out of my head that I have a rescue, that I'm willing to take these animals in, and I've named this thing. Because once I put a name to it, I was like, okay, there's something here. So this is my thing, Southeastern Reptile Rescue. And these ideas sort of just coming to me and flowing and coming to me. I was like, well, let's do this and this and this and this and this. And I started being obsessed with it and just wanting to figure out how do you run a reptile rescue? What do I have to do? What licenses do I need? How do I get these licenses? And so I started doing all this stuff. And my mom, I remember her calling me and said, hey, you know, you probably need a website. I was like, no, I don't need a website. It's not going to be that. You know, this is just something little. I'm just, you know, taking in snakes. That's all it is. And then over time, I was like, you know, I really need a website. So I was trying to come up with a website, and I asked, you know, I'm trying to think of a domain name. What domain name do I get? I don't know. Southeastern Reptile Rescue, that's too long. So I'm asking people, and nobody, they're giving me all these suggestions. I asked my mom, I said, well, do you have any ideas? And she's like, yeah, name it snakesrus.com. I said, oh, my God, that is so dumb. That's so stupid. I'm not naming it snakesrus.com. I'm not doing that. And so she's like, okay, well, I thought it was good. I said, well, it's not. It's not a good. It's not good, okay? It ended up being, I thought it was good because I couldn't stop thinking about it. And when I came up with anything better. And so that's to credit to my mom. She came up with snakesrus.com and now snakesrus.tv. So we had a website. And then as things are going on a little bit further, I had somebody call and say, hey, listen, we know you're doing rescue and you're doing these things. Have you thought about, you know, like showing these to the public and things like that? And I was like, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, we have this festival over here and you could come out and bring your animals to this festival and let people see them. I said, oh, that's a great idea. So I got like a 10 by 10 pop-up canopy tent and a six foot folding table and a tablecloth on it. And I went out there and set the table up and I had some, you know, enclosure with snakes and lizards and turtles and different things in them. And people would come over to us and we let them pet a snake. Some people had never touched a snake in their entire life. And they got to pet a snake for the first time. And so that was great. And I think it was so much fun doing that. People coming up asking questions. And I'll never forget, after we had done a few of those types of events, we had people would come up because, you know, you get all kinds. You get people, only good snake's a dead snake, you know, all this stuff. And so I started thinking about that. And I was like, I had an idea. What I did is I looked up all the different things that can kill you and how many people a year die from these things. You know, how many people die a year from walking up stairs? How many people die from, you know, suffocation under a blanket? I mean, just all these different things. And all these silly things I looked up, people were dying a lot more from that in the United States each year than they were from venomous snake bites. So what I did, I wrote this little story out of a person in their front yard trying to kill a snake, and they run in the house to get something to kill the snake with. And as they're going in the house and trying to come back out, I mentioned all the things that can kill them that are more likely to kill them than the snake is. And I did this whole story, and I printed it on the front and back of a business card. And people would come up, and the ones who, like, didn't want us to be there, oh, why do y'all have snakes? Y'all only good snake's a dead snake. We wouldn't fuss at these people or say, oh, you're wrong. You know, you shouldn't say that. We just say, oh, you know, God bless you, and hand them a business card. And so I'll never forget this one lady. She came back over. She said, hey, sir, this card you handed me, did you hand me this just to make me feel stupid? I said, well, yeah. She said, well, it works. It works so good. So anyway, we did that for a long time. And then as doing that, I got another call from somebody who says, hey, we have a person scheduled to speak at this event, and he's bringing snakes and speaking about snakes, and something has happened, and he can't come. So can you bring your snakes and talk to this group of people, and we need you to speak to them for about 45 minutes to an hour? And I was like, I don't know why I said yes, but I said yes. And it's hard for me to tell people no. That's something I'm working on, telling people no, okay? But I told this person, yes, I'll do it. And luckily, it was like, I don't know, a month away, 2 months away. So I had some time to prepare. And I started looking up nature centers, zoos, parks, any place I could go to that had snakes that also did educational talks on the weekend about snakes to the visitors. And I went to a few of these things to figure out, what is a snake show? What do you do? What is this? You know? And when I went to these things, one thing I noticed was most of them, the people were saying, okay, the biggest snake in the world is this. The longest snake in the world is this. They were just giving these random facts about snakes from all over the world. And at the end of some of these talks, they would maybe have people raise their hands to ask questions. And most of the questions were from people who didn't like snakes. They would just happen to be at this event, happen to sit down here, and you're talking about snakes. They're not here to learn your information. They're just going with the flow, and they're at this event, and you happen to be talking about snakes. And most of them went, okay, well, when I see a copperhead in my yard, how's the best way to kill it? I mean, this kind of questions they were asking. And I was like, you know, these people, they need to be educated that you don't need to kill a copperhead in your yard to begin with. And then I got to thinking, that's what I do my show about. I take all the questions that the people are asking at the shows, and that's what I do my show about, what the people can actually use. And, you know, people who are coming to this event who don't even like snakes, they don't even want to learn anything about snakes. But I'm going to give them some information that they can use that will save snakes' lives in the process. And so that's what I did. I went and did my first show, and I was thinking, okay, I'm picturing maybe 10 people in the audience, maybe 15 people in the audience will be here. I show up, and it was well over 100 people crammed in this little room, and I'm just like pouring sweat. I'm so nervous. I'm like, oh, my God, this is not what I thought. Why did I do this? And I'm like, how do I get out of this? I don't want to do this, you know. But I went in there, and for a full hour, I talked to these people going through snakes, you know, non-venomous snakes, venomous snakes. And at this point, I had already acquired, you know, rattlesnakes and copperheads and cottonmouths and all these different snakes. And I even got an alligator and started teaching about alligators as well. And so that's kind of how it started, because at that event, there was a guy on the front row who stayed till it was over. And then when it was over, I was packing up. He said, hey, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. He said, listen, I run this event, and we would like for you to come to this event and do what you did here. And this is a three-day event, and they'll have about 30,000 people there over 3 days, and we'd love for you to come do it. And I was like, are you serious? Oh, my gosh, this is incredible. Yes, I'll do it, you know. And it was a hunting and fishing expo, and went and did the event. And the first day there, people were coming by, why do they have y'all here? Snakes? We don't want to care about snakes. Only good snakes are dead snake. And I'm trying to tell people that are with me, I've got some volunteers with me, you know, don't say anything to them. Let them say what they want to say. We're not going to argue with them or fuss with them. And then let me just go do my show. So I went and did the show. And I figured out I can't get up here and just give these people information and just tell them about snakes. I have to make it interesting for them. So I try to use comedy and try to do it in a really fun way that you're enjoying yourself, even if you don't like snakes. You're having fun listening to the stories I'm telling you about this snake and the process of it. You're learning tons of information, and then you're having all the myths that you thought were true kind of blown apart, you know? And so by the end of it, we'd have people come up and say, hey, listen, you know, I hate snakes, but I'll never kill another one again after listening to you talk. I'm like, well, this is perfect. This is working. And so we started getting calls from more and more and more of those shows, and people would even call us, hey, can you do a snake birthday party? I said, well, what is a snake birthday party? You know, you bring snakes to my kid's party and you talk about them, let them pet them. Started doing that. And then we started getting calls for schools, and we started going into public schools and doing full assemblies in the gym, you know, to hundreds and hundreds of kids, and doing festivals and fairs, and all these places started booking us. And then I was like, you know, it'd be cool if we had an exhibit and display. So we came up with an idea of putting snakes on display at these exhibits. So what I did is I went to a company who manufactures enclosed trailers. And I said, look, I've drawn out a diagram. I need you to build this trailer. And it was going to be a 32-foot box trailer, enclosed trailer, with a ramp on the back and one ramp that folds down the side. And we built the trailer, and it took all the money I had at the time, several thousand dollars, to have this trailer built. And then once it was built, it basically sat in my yard unused for about a year because I had no more money to do anything with it. That was it. I was like, all the money I had, she's going to have to sit there. And it did. And I ended up talking to some organizations and getting some sponsorships, told them what my idea was. One of them was a state university here in Georgia. They're like, oh, this is a great idea. Yeah. And so they sponsored. Now, at this point, I was crazy busy doing all this stuff. And in the process of trying to have this trailer built, hadn't had it built yet. And I get a phone call from a lady who said, hey, have you ever thought about having, you know, what you do put on TV? I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I work for Animal Planet, and we'd like to talk to you about maybe doing like a 1-hour special to film about you and kind of show the world what you do. I said, how much is this going to cost me? She said, we'll pay you. I said, come on down to Georgia. So they came down, and we got it all set up, and they had a film crew basically film me and my family for like just 2 days. Of just living, just we'd go to a restaurant in town. They'd walk in filming us. I mean, we weren't doing anything really snake related, really too much. I guess they were just kind of seeing how we were on camera. And they said, okay, after 2 days of filming, they left. And it was about a month. We didn't hear anything. And they finally called and said, hey, we showed the executives at Animal Planet. They basically said, you and your whole family are crazy, and they're not going to do the 1-hour special. They want to offer you a series. Here's a 24-page contract. And I was like, what in the world is this? So anyway, we actually had to get an attorney to go look over the contract and change a bunch of stuff in it. We signed a contract with Animal Planet and did a TV show, did several episodes, filmed for over a year, about a year and a half with Animal Planet. And that was a lot of fun. And I learned so much about sound and editing and filming and, you know, how to do all this stuff, the ins and outs and how it worked. And it was so cool. It was a lot of work. It was so much work. So much work. But I learned so much from doing that. And once we did that, we started getting other calls from people saying, hey, we're filming a movie. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get to be in a movie. We're filming a movie, and we would like for your animals to be in the movie. I was like, oh, just my animals? They're like, yeah, just your animals. I was like, oh, okay. So this first movie I called about was a horror movie called Halloween, Michael Myers Halloween. And it was going to be directed by Rob Zombie. And so I started telling my friends, hey, we're going to go do this movie by some guy named Rob Zombie. And one of my friends was like, oh my gosh, you're going to get to meet Rob Zombie? Are you serious? I was like, I mean, I don't know if I'll get to meet him. And I don't even know if I meet him, if I'll know that I met him, because I don't know who is Rob Zombie. And my friend was highly offended. I didn't know who Rob Zombie was. And anyway, we went to the movie set. We took some animals there, and it wasn't even reptiles. We had like goats and a pig and things like that, because we had other animals too. And those got to be in this movie. And while we're there, my daughter got to be in the movie as an extra when she was a baby. It wasn't even that good of a movie. I didn't get to be in the movie, but she got to be in the movie. Anyway, so the next movie we got called for, they called and said, hey, we need a snake in the movie. I said, can you send us some pictures of some different snakes you have? So I sent them some photos of some snakes, and they chose one. And the snake they chose was an albino Burmese python, a pretty big albino Burmese python. And they said, we want that snake in the movie. So I knew I wasn't going to get to be in the movie, but my snake was. This is going to be pretty cool. So I show up on set, and I meet with the actor who's going to be holding the snake in the scene. And we're just going to kind of do some preliminary stuff and explaining what's going to happen and making the actor feel comfortable and how they're supposed to hold the snake. And I open the box to show them the snake, and the actor quit. Yeah, they quit. They're like, I'm not doing this. I'm out. I don't even know who this person was, but they quit. And they're like, okay, what do we do? Who are we going to have to hold the snake? And they look at me and said, would you want to be in the movie and hold the snake? And I'm like, I was born to be in the movie, okay? So they sent me to wardrobe, and this day on set, I had hair at the time, okay? And they sit me down, and without even asking, they shaved my head bald. But it looked so good, I kept it. I couldn't grow it out now if I wanted to. But anyway, that was the first time I ever shaved my head. And so they give me a fake nose ring and sent me back to set, which is set in like the interior of a club, a nightclub. And they said, you put the snake on your shoulders and just kind of pretend to dance around with it with all the other club goers and partiers. And then the main actor will come over and you're going to place the snake on him. And so I did that. The actor in the movie was Owen Wilson. Jason Sudeikis is also in this movie. And I got to meet him. He was in the makeup trailer when I was in there getting all that done. But anyway, I'm supposed to put the snake on Owen Wilson's shoulders in this movie. And they said, can we get the snake to flick his tongue like at Owen Wilson? I said, well, what you do is when the snake looks at you, I'm telling Owen this, I said, just kind of blow on the snake a little bit, and that'll make him want to flick his tongue to see, you know, what is that? So in the movie, you can see him kind of blowing on the snake and the snake flicking his tongue back at him. And then the next scene we're going to cut to is Owen on the floor, and the snake is wrapped around him, choking him out, okay, because this is a comedy we're filming. So they have a rubber snake replica that they've made, and they've hand-painted this huge, giant albino Burmese python rubber snake to wrap around Owen's neck. And the real Burmese python, I talked them into laying it on top of Owen's body, just kind of laying it there. And it looks like it's wrapped around him. So the rubber one's around his neck. So I'm supposed to kneel down behind him and grab the rubber snake. And when they yell action, I'm supposed to start punching the rubber snake. That's what they told me to do. So when they yell action, that's what I did. I heard punching the rubber snake. They yell cut, and Owen looks up and goes, hey, you can fake the punches. Like, well, y'all didn't tell me that. I'm an actor. Tell me to punch it. I punched the snake for real. Anyway, so that was the first movie I got to be in. What's the name of the movie? I'm not going to tell you. Just because I didn't like the movie, it was horrible, I don't even want to promote it. Anyway, it was fun to do it. Since then, we've worked on, I don't even know, 20 movies, 30 movies, 40 movies, tons of movies and TV shows, lots of stuff. Some of the stuff I'm in, some of it I'm not. Most of it I'm not. Some of it we're called to be on set for safety. If there's going to be filming in the edge of the woods here, and they're like, hey, you know, there could be real snakes there, and we've got these actors going in there, can you be here and check the area meticulously, make sure there's no snake there? and then stand here while we're filming it to make sure no one dies, okay? And so we got called to do that a lot. And so ended up having to get lots of other wranglers that I would get them licensed by the state to come in and work for me on these sets because I couldn't do them all. And so, you know, we've done the Avengers Endgame, Infinity War, Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Panther, Godzilla, tons and tons of movies, lots of TV shows. We did some hidden camera TV shows for Netflix called Prank Encounters. That was a lot of fun. But tons of shows, tons of stuff. I'm on a TV show, Critter Fixers, on Disney Plus, Nat Geo. I think I'm on at least one episode in almost every season, something like that. That was fun to do that. I'm on another show on Netflix called Southern Survival, the Fear episode. I'm in that one. And I got called. They wanted a snake in a commercial. And they said, can you send us some photos of some snakes? So I sent them all these photos in. And guess which one they picked? A different albino Burmese python. So they called back the next day and said, hey, listen, you know, we want the snake, but I showed the director the photo of you holding the snake, and she really likes your look. And in the script calls for a snake guy, and you're an actual snake guy. Would you be interested in being in a commercial? I said, sure. So they said, have you ever been in anything else? So I said, yeah. So I sent them some different things. The movie I'd been in and the TV show I'd done. And they called back and said, oh, you got the part. You know, go to wardrobe over here and on this day, and they'll get you in what you're going to wear in the scene. I said, sure. So they sent me to a lady's house in Atlanta somewhere, like just a random house. And I'm like, man, what kind of a low-budget commercial are we doing here? I'm going to a lady's house, and it said to go around back to the basement. I'm like, where am I going? Oh, my goodness. So I walk around back, and this nice lady comes out and greets me. She says, yeah, I'm here to measure you for your wardrobe and see what you're going to wear. I said, ma'am, just let me go ahead and apologize to you up front. I'm sorry. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5". I wear like a size 14 or 15 shoe. I'm sorry, you're going to have to find. And she just kind of laughs and says, I'm not worried. And as we walk in, she shows me a pair of shoes that I could put my foot in with my shoes on. I said, whose shoe is that? She said, oh, that's Shaq's shoe. I do his wardrobe stuff. That's why they sent you to me. I said, oh, okay. So she measures me and gets me fit for wardrobe. And then a few days later, we go and we film. And I still don't even know what I'm filming. You know, I have no idea what it is. And we get there and they say, you're in a scene. It's kind of like a night, like a talk show, like a nighttime talk show. And you're going to be sitting here with the snake, you're the animal guy. Then you'll move down the couch. The next guest comes out to interview him. So basically what it was, a commercial for Jif peanut butter. And the guy sitting next to me on the couch was Ludacris. And it was a lot of fun. We're only on set for about 6 hours that day filming us, which is actually pretty quick. So you can actually go on YouTube and type in Jif peanut butter, Ludacris commercial. I think it's called The Return. The Return is the name of the commercial. And you can see it. Pretty fun. It's about a minute and a half long. And I'm in there for like 3 seconds with an albino Burmese python. But anyway, that's a little bit about kind of what we do, kind of how we got started. And so today, what we do today is even more stuff. I still answer 911 calls from multiple different counties all over Georgia. But we also assist local law enforcement, state authorities, as well as federal authorities with different situations that they have involving illegal reptiles sometimes, helping them identify species, maybe even, taking possession of an animal, getting it secured for them to transport it wherever they've taken it to. So we do a lot of that. So we end up working with a lot of animals, everything from, I just wanted to call recently that had a lemur. We had to get a lemur out of somebody's living room. Yeah, but anyway, you know, I deal with a lot of snakes, you know, mambas, spitting cobras, gaboon vipers, crocodiles, you know, snakes from all over the world that we get called about. And so that makes my job very interesting and never a dull moment. It's always something very, very different. So today what we do, we have our website, snakesareus.com, and I do speaking engagements mostly here in Georgia, but we also go around the country. I've done events in Ohio, Kentucky, Kansas, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina. So we do a lot of different states we go and speak in. And I do my program, which is, how do you describe it? A venomous snake comedy stage show, okay? Basically is what it is. And like I said, we're trying to get people to see venomous snakes completely differently than what they've ever been taught and see how amazing these animals are. But we do it with comedy. It's a really fun, funny program that's very engaging. And I really enjoy doing that. So I do, I don't know, a couple hundred shows a year. Most of those are, half of them are private shows. Half of them are open to the public, you know. So we advertise those on our website and come out and see it. During 2020, when everything was shut down, man, all my shows are canceled. And, you know, at this point, I had quit the police department years ago because I started doing reptile stuff full time. I was doing the reptile stuff back before I was a cop, but it got to the point where, like, you know, I can't have a job and do all, I can't even do all I'm doing. I sure can't have a job and do it all. So I quit my job to focus on Southeastern Reptile Rescue full time many years ago. And then comes 2020. And all of my shows were canceled, all of them for the entire year. I think we made it to the second weekend of March, in a show the second weekend of March, and that's when everything was canceled for the rest of the year. And that was our revenue that came in. You know, people booking me to go speak at an event is what pays the bills. It's what feeds the animals. It's what feeds me, you know? And I was like, what in the world are we going to do? And so I had a couple of venues call me and say, listen, you know, we hate that we have to cancel because we can't meet in person. But what if we did like an online call where you do like an online video call? I said, you know, I like reptiles and I wouldn't even watch that. So no, I'm not going to do that. Because I don't want what I do people to see me doing this and be like, oh, yeah, this is not good. Because it just wouldn't translate well, I don't think, you know. So I got to thinking about it. What I decided to do was I went and sat down and came up with some ideas of things that I could film to put out on film, that just a 20-minute video to teach people about snakes. And instead of me being on, you know, a Zoom call or something like that, I could just send them this video and said, this is much more engaging, much more interesting. Just watch this, instead of me doing it live, standing in front of a green screen. And so I filmed, the first one was called Copperheads versus Cottonmouths. It's on my YouTube channel, about 20 minutes long. And it was just contrasting the difference in cottonmouths and copperheads. And I filmed the copperhead portion in central Georgia, the Piedmont, and some rocky outcrops. The cottonmouth version I filmed in south Georgia in the middle of the swamp near the Okefenokee. And I put all the footage together, made a 20-minute video. The second video I did around the same time, about 20 minutes long, was basically snakes, you know, fact and fiction, what's true, what's not true. Went through a lot of snake mist, another 20-minute video. So I packaged these two videos together and just presented them to these organizations who wanted me to come speak in person, but we couldn't because of everything was shut down. And they loved it. And people were like, hey, we'll pay you just to let us show this. I was like, well, I need somebody to pay me. I gotta eat, you know. So they did that, and it was wonderful. And I realized, you know, why am I not doing these videos? I'm going on these calls, I'm removing snakes for people, and half the people I'm meeting are nuts, you know. they're so funny. And so I started just getting my cell phone out and just filming these people that I encountered about their snake problem they're having. They got snakes in their yard, or snakes in their car, or snakes in their house. And we started filming this stuff and started putting it on our YouTube channel. And it's been great. The problem is not having enough stuff to film. The problem is me having enough time to edit it to consistently put up the videos. That's the problem I've got. You know, as we started going through this, especially once we started getting more animals coming in, especially once we started dealing with venomous snakes, I needed to know, you know, I'm dealing with these venomous snakes, we're getting called on. I had to make sure I knew what to do for myself if I got bit. If I get bit by a venomous snake, what is the first aid procedures I must go through before I get to a hospital? So I made sure I educated myself on that, made sure I knew what to do. And I started thinking, okay, I know what first aid is, but, you know, what if I got bit? And then what if all this stuff happens to my body that I'm not expecting to happen? Even though I know first aid, I want to kind of know, how bad does it hurt? Like, what all happens to you? So every time somebody would get bit by a snake and I heard, oh, yeah, there's a guy got bit. He's in the hospital. Well, what hospital is he at? And I'd go to the hospital. I don't know this guy. And I'd go and say, yeah, I'm here to see the snake bite victim. They would let me go back there. And I introduced myself to this guy in the ER. You know, hey, I'm Jason. Can we talk about what just happened to you? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And so I would ask them. I'd become friends with these people and kind of walk with them through their bite just for my own curiosity and seeing what it did to them and how their body responded to it. Now, I learned a lot. And then after years of doing that, a lady called and said, hey, we need you to come to this hospital. We have an in-house daycare, all these kids, and it's like a summer camp, and we'd like you to bring some snakes here and show the kids and do a little program for them. I said, sure, I'd love to. So I show up at the hospital. I go in. It's this nice, huge auditorium. I'm like, this is really nice. And the lady comes in. I says, ma'am, how many kids am I speaking to today? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, how many children are going to be in the audience? She said, there's no children here. I said, well, who am I talking to? She said, we have about 70 doctors coming in today that you're going to be speaking to, medical doctors. I don't know what the miscommunication was. I don't know how in the world I thought I was going to an in-house daycare with children, and now I'm here about to speak to 70 medical doctors about snake bite. I'm like, what? How? I don't know. Now, I'm learning this in less than 5 minutes before I'm supposed to go on the stage. And I tell her, I said, well, I'm going to tweak what I'm going to talk about. I was going to show him this albino ball python. I says, look how pretty he is. He's yellow. Isn't he pretty? I said, I got to. So anyway, they come filing in and sit down. And I'm like, I don't even know. What do I say to these people? I'm not a medical person. I can't give them medical advice. So I was like, okay, guys, you probably want to know what my credentials are. I don't have any. But let me tell you what I've been to hospitals and seen y'all screw up on for the last 20 years. And I started going into these stories about what I had seen, what I had experienced, and what I'd seen people do and all this stuff I saw happen. And afterward, a guy came up on stage. He's like, hey, I'm the head of the poison control. I want to talk to you about some of the information that you just gave. I said, oh, crap, what did I say? He said, no, that was great. He said, would you want to come speak to some of the people at the poison control? I said, sure. So I went and did my presentation for them. And like I said, I'm not giving medical advice. I'm not saying, okay, here's how you're going to treat this and this. I was giving my experience from kind of what I've seen. And it's been invaluable to them. And from that, we started getting calls from other hospitals wanting us to come in and speak, from different colleges and universities that have programs for first responders, want us to come speak to them. We'd go to different counties, speak to their fire department, their 911 centers, their animal control, their law enforcement, and doing the program for those people. Then we started getting calls for statewide EMS programs of, you know, conferences of up to 1,000 people at these conferences be coming in to speak. It's going great, you know. And so any way that I can get in there and share the things that I have encountered, the things that I've seen that may help open people's eyes and give them a little bit more knowledge about what to do and what not to do when it comes to snakes, then I think that's amazing, especially if it's saving snakes' lives, you know. And so that brings me to the Snakes Are Us TV podcast. You know, why did I start a podcast? I don't know how to do a podcast. I don't know how to do all this stuff, but I came in here and I was like, you know, I've got this space here. I'm going to make it into a studio. I'm going to get some studio lights and, you know, a big monitor, and I'm going to get a microphone and this boom stand thing, and I'm going to figure out how to do all this. And I said, what we're also going to do too is, instead of me just being out here talking to you guys for an hour, we're going to bring in a second microphone, some additional cameras, and I'm going to bring guests in here. I'm going to bring some other snake people, alligator people, reptile people in the studio and sit them down. We're going to talk about this stuff. I think this is going to be so cool. So this is episode one, and we're going to go and we're going to record another dozen episodes, another 20 episodes or so. I don't know how many we're going to do. We're going to do a lot more. And then once we get a bunch of those episodes under our belt of just me, we're going to start incorporating and building the studio out, and hopefully, at least that's my plan, I hope to add another microphone, and I hope to have guests in here. So we'll see. That's the plan. But as of right now, it's just going to be me each week coming to you from the Snakes R Us TV studio. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this. You know, and if you have ideas of topics that you'd like for me to cover and say, hey, you know, why don't you speak about this issue or this topic or something, you know, if you have those ideas, tell me, because what am I going to talk about next week? I have no idea. I don't, you know, I know a lot of people who do podcasts and they'll kind of plan out their episodes for weeks, even months in advance. And I thought about doing that, but I decided against it. And the reason I decided against it is because of what it is that I do, and so many things happen, I'm going to kind of wait and see what happens. And then as things happen on a weekly basis, because I can't film everything. I can't film everything that happens and put it all on our YouTube channel. I would never have enough time to edit that much footage. So some of it will film, and some of it will end up on there in a video form. But there's so much that happens that we just can't do all that with. So I'll get to come in here in the studio and say, hey, guys, we're back for another week, and let me tell you what just happened this week. It's some crazy stuff. So hopefully you guys are going to enjoy this. Hopefully we'll have listeners. And hopefully you'll give me some topics and things that you want me to cover during those slow times, like in the winter, when there's not a whole lot going on, snakes are not moving a whole lot, I'm not out doing tons of programs, that's my slow time. But once we start rocking and rolling in the spring, summer, and fall, and it's busy, I don't really know what we're going to talk about, but I think it's going to be fun. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Again, my name is Jason Clark, founder and director of Southeastern Reptile Rescue. And last thing I want to tell you guys is this. When I was young and I would tell people that I want to work with snakes, what do you think they told me? They told me, no, you're not going to be able, nobody's going to hire you to do that. Were they right? Yeah, they were pretty much right. Nobody was going to hire me to do that. You know, at least not for a long time. But what I figured out was, when people tell you you can't do something, all that means is they can't do that thing. If you've ever been called hard-headed, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Hard-headed just means, at least to me, that you don't give up, you don't give in, you're persistent, and you keep pushing, and you make it happen. Everybody comes up with good ideas every day, but most of those people don't implement their ideas. They're just ideas. And that's as far as they go with them. Take your ideas and make it happen. Nobody's going to do it for you. That's all I've done, just making these things happen. Most of my ideas, most of them don't work out. most of them end up, I'm like, oh, that was a dumb idea. And that's usually true. But some of them work out. Some of them work out. So try it. You never know what'll happen. So, guys, thank you all for joining me for episode number one of the Snakes R Us TV podcast. And last thing I want to say to you, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Thank you very much for joining me, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please consider leaving a 5-star review. That helps me so much in pushing this podcast out to even more people. I record every Thursday, so check back next week for a new episode of the Snakes R Us TV podcast.